Few Hollywood films seem less auspicious at first than 1948's The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. It was John Huston's first picture after making documentaries for the Army during the war, and his boss Jack Warner, studio chief of Warner Brothers, hated the idea and didn't care for Huston much either. With the studio's biggest star, Humphrey Bogart, playing an unsavory character, and with virtually no women in the film, it could have been a major flop. Instead, it became one of the great classic films of all time. It was based on a 1927 novel by the mysterious author B. Travin, a German anarchist who lived in Mexico most of his life. Huston wrote the screenplay, adapting the novel very faithfully with a few original touches here and there. I suspect he never mentioned the anarchist part to Jack Warner. Two penniless drifters stuck in a Mexican town, and played by Humphrey Bogart and Tim Holt, run into the grizzled prospector Howard, played by the director's father, Walter Huston, who persuades them to accompany him into the mountains to mine some gold he knows is there. They find gold, but their good fortune is threatened by Mexican bandits, a fourth prospector who follows them and tries to cut in, and most of all by the escalating greed and paranoia of Fred C. Dobbs, the prospector played by Humphrey Bogart. The film is really all about greed and how money can divide people against each other and even against themselves, unless they have higher values to rely on. Most of the film was shot in the state of Durango, south of Chihuahua. In those days, it was still unusual not to shoot on a studio set, and it cost more money to do it Huston's way, $3 million, a lot of money back then. There is, however, not an ounce of fat on this picture. The style is lean, hard, and raw. Each section of the movie leads up to a point of almost unbearable tension and then release, followed by another gradual buildup. Walter Huston was one of the 20th century's most distinguished actors, on stage and screen, and now near the end of his life, he put in a performance that won him an Oscar for a supporting actor. The grizzled old man Howard, the natural leader of the three gold hunters, a man of humor and resilience who has gained a certain worldly wisdom with his years, is an unforgettable character. Tim Holt, an actor who spent most of his career in B-movies, does solid work as the decent young man Curtin. With all this going for it, it's easy to discount the presence of Humphrey Bogart, and some have. But here was a guy who had finally achieved stardom and top billing in Hollywood, playing tough good guys like Rick in Casablanca, but who was willing to take a chance playing an unbalanced person in this film. Dobbs is an unsavory, pathetic, self-pitying character, a very risky role for a big star, and Bogey gives him life and even a little sympathy. It's a great performance, arguably the best of his career. Of course, the most famous scene occurs between Bogey and the Mexican bandits, featuring the line, "We don't need no stinking badges." But as is often the case with such memorable lines, it's not exactly what was said.
Oiga, señor, we are federales. You know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Better not come any closer.
No sea tonto, hombre. We didn't try to do you any harm. Why don't you try to be a little more polite?
The actor who delivered the infamous line about badges was Sonora, Mexico native Alfonso Bedoya, playing the bandit known as Gold Hat. He appeared in over 75 films, mostly for the then-bustling Mexican film industry, in a career which lasted from 1935 until his death in 1957, at age 53. In addition to Walter Huston's Oscar, the film won his son John two Academy Awards as director and screenwriter. Although Jack Warner wanted the ending changed, Huston won that argument, and it's one of the few movies he did at Warner's that was made exactly as he intended, without interference. There's a deep moral seriousness to this film, a bitter dramatic logic that is remarkable for a major Hollywood picture of that era. The ending strikes a note of universal truth that anyone can relate to. It's not a sad ending, but a very life-affirming one. The quest, its futility, and the way men are defeated by it or find a deeper inner resource because of it. These are the themes that help keep The Treasure of the Sierra Madre in the pantheon of American classics. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Chris DeShiel.